Well, I'm going to do my best to get you out of here plenty early. You got one more big class going. You got to see Jesse. And I want to sort of first thank you for coming. I know it's late in the day, and you probably have a million things you could be doing, so I'm very appreciative that you're here. And I want to sort of piggyback on what I talked about this morning. Some of you may have missed that. I'll try to catch you up a little bit. You see, if I had 5 minutes in front of any police administrator, and I had one thing to talk about, this is what it would be. You see, 20, 30 years ago, communication, how we spoke to the media, or how we communicated to the public in a general fashion, was sort of a, we'll do it if we get around to it. Because we're about the police work, right? I get that. We're about law enforcement. We don't have time for that. And quite frankly, we didn't need to. Back then, you could go to court, everybody believed you. You could say something to the media, they just reported what you said. And everything seemed to rock along just fine until about a decade ago. I was in our public information office at Tulsa PD. 6-7 years, I commanded it. I wasn't always on the front lines of it. But it was just 15 years ago, I would get a phone call. I'm trying to look at the ages here. I'm not judging you, sir. You're probably 32, a little older, right?
And 20.
Okay, you're just like me. I can remember the local news when we used to sit down at 5 o'clock and watch it, and 6 o'clock, because all you could watch. They had that little phone on your hand with all the news. What did they, at the end of that 30-minute news segment, if you remember how it went, some of you youngins won't even know what I'm talking about. It starts off with some kind of general news and some national news, and then it kind of gets to the end. It gets to the sports section, right? But if you remember, what was the very last story the media would always put at the end of the 30-minute segment? And I'll help you out here. A positive, feel-good story. You remember that, sir? I used to get those phone calls 15 years ago. Hey, you got Travis, you got anything good for us today? Something positive, feel good? Yeah, do this. But save the dog, save the puppy, whatever. They don't make those calls anymore. You see, the news industry is a different animal today. We went from 3 main channels to a few cable channels not many people paid attention to then Al Gore invented the internet, and kaboom, information 24/7, there you go. Right? And competition, other opinions, other things. And I think competition's healthy, I think it's good, but what has happened to the mainstream corporations is it's tough to make a buck. And people say, oh, Travis, the media hates cops. I say, well, ideologically, maybe some do, but they like money. They're using you to make it. And news doesn't sell. Sensationalism sells. I can remember going to the grocery store and we go, look at the National Enquirer, that looks crazy. Well, now everything's a National Enquirer. See, straight news is boring, especially on a 24/7 news cycle. And so what has happened through the years is they have used you to not tell the news, to tell whatever they want, whatever narrative they want, to push whatever agenda they want, to make people mad, because that's what pays the bills. Facebook has admitted it. The whistleblowers have admitted it. Their algorithms are to make you mad. If we can get people to hate what they see and to argue with each other, the engagement picks up and we make money. Facebook goes out 6 hours, Zuckerberg lost $6 billion. There's a lot of money in keeping people pissed off. The problem is, when it's not the truth, it affects you greatly. And so law enforcement has never been great at this, right? I mean, just look at any PO in law enforcement. We're cops. The cops are great at that, right? Like, we're cops. We think we can do it all. Oh, you need a media person? I can do it. You need a tech guy? I did it on the side once. I can do it. We're good at that, right? I get it. But you're dealing with professionals. You're dealing with people that know how to do a lot of weird things to make people believe a certain thing. You say something over and over again, they tend to believe it. And you've seen that a lot lately, not just in law enforcement. So if I could speak to anybody in law enforcement for 10 minutes or an hour, this is it. Because if you don't do this well, it doesn't matter what else you do. There's a lot of things that we have to do well. You are working in one of the most difficult industries in the world. It's the most important. But you have incredible demands placed on you. It should be, hey, your job's to reduce crime, make people feel safe. Well, those were the good old days, right? Oh, no. In fact, most people don't even seem to care about that now. You've got this politician and this mayor and this person and this person and the individual on Twitter. And you name it, all these people that you're trying to make happy. And if you try that, you're going to not make anybody happy. So there's nothing more important than this issue. And in our 8-hour day, we talk about all these issues. And I kind of dub it, hopefully next year this comes out, where I'm going to put some principles together on, if you truly want a great police department, here's what you can do. Not just my opinion, but a lot of sound research. The problem is many people, status quo, as I said, is our enemy, right? Why do we do it? We always do it that way. It's difficult to go, let's push the envelope and do something great. That's hard work, and status quo pays the exact same. So you see a lot of leadership in law enforcement that's just happy to set back, do as little as possible. If I don't do anything, I won't get in trouble. Anybody heard that one? Huh? Yeah. It's the same way at every level in law enforcement. The problem is if you don't do anything, nothing really matters. So out of all these topics, I talk about communication last, because if you don't do that, none of that else matters. Doesn't matter how good your policy is. Doesn't matter how much you train. Doesn't matter how good your recruiting is. If you don't communicate it to the public, it's kind of for naught, especially with all of the noise that's coming people's way. It says how great you are that after what a profession has been through and the lies being told, you are still getting up every day, either supporting it or doing it or wearing a badge. It's amazing. No other profession could survive. My God, I love nurses and doctors and healthcare people. Of course I do. But what a bunch of babies. Have you not listened to these people in the last year? Welcome to being a cop. People are talking bad about you, right? I mean, there's nobody that can put up with that but you. And for the most part, I don't want to get you too caught up in that. Nothing really has changed except for the way the media has operated in social media. I mean, I could take you back to post-Rodney King, post-Vietnam, the cycles of this. We've always had that small element, right? That small element that I talked about earlier. 10% of the population, they want you gone. And that's a lot of people on social media. It's a lot of people on Twitter. In fact, you know what the research says about Twitter? Only about 10% of Americans are on Twitter. The rest of them are absolute fake bots, and you name it. And I love how we get involved in that. I'm like, dude, it's not even real. That's where the politicians in D.C. are messing up. They're making decisions based on Twitter, and Twitter's not reality. And this is so important. The reason I encourage in front of it is we can have all this stuff in our head. We can know what to do. But if we're scared to do it, it doesn't help us, right? It just doesn't help us. And so I want to remind you back to my first slide this morning on why we are where we are. This is the playbook. I don't know a lot. Here's my opinion. Let's interject race, because that brings emotion in. And who's going to argue with me if I talk about that? Because if you do argue with me, well, I got another thing coming for you. People get mad, and then I don't know why I can't spell reform today, but I can't. And then reform happens, right? And it's just constant, and it's constant, and it's constant. And we have not been able to cut through that. If you stay with me today in the short time we have, I'm going to give you a few tips. And some of you are sitting there thinking, well, hey, I'm not the PO. I'm not the chief. I'm not the sheriff. What does this have to do with me? It has everything to do with you. I mean, maybe at the very minimum scale, it's Thanksgiving dinner with your crazy uncle. When he says something stupid, you can go, well, hey, think about this. Because I had this weird concept that truth matters, that facts matter. And I think you just keep coming back with that. And you know you're on the right spot when people start screaming at you and call you names. You know you've hit the truth there, right? And so we're in this weird world. I feel bad my kids are here. It's the first time they've ever seen me talk, unless I'm screaming at them. And I feel bad for them, because I remember when we had news. Remember those old days on cable news when you had the right winger and the left winger? They'd each talk about a topic back and forth, and then they look at the camera and go, you decide. Yeah, none of y'all remember that, because we don't. Yeah, that's, you know, Hannity and Combs, remember that? Combs died, liberal. Anyway, right, left, they argue. Then they go, hey, there's both sides of the argument. You viewers make the decision. Oh, we don't have that anymore. In fact, the news channels will freely admit they're not being about news, that they don't do news. Don't believe me? Go look at the defamation and slander lawsuits and their defense. Richard Maddow just got sued by One American News. She said on air they were Russian propaganda owned by Russia. It's owned by a dude in San Diego. He sees that and goes, well, that's plainly false. She just slandered my company, and it could hurt my company financially. He files a lawsuit against Rachel Maddow on MSNBC. And by the way, she knew what she said was false. She's not stupid. But they get away with it every day, so they just keep doing it, and it gets people what? Pissed off. In the legal briefs, when the judge threw the case out and said they had no defamation case, this is what MSNBC said. You can't sue us for defamation. We're not the news. We're entertainment. They admit that, and it's not MSNBC's not the only one. They all do that. It's just our opinion based on entertainment. And the Supreme Court case on defamation slander protects them. By the way, that's going to come to an end because they're talking crap on the Supreme Court. Supreme Court media better be careful doing that, because that case that defends them right now, because right now, you, if you're in law enforcement, you're a public figure, they can lie about you, and you have to prove that they had intent of ill harm when they lied about you. Or they can give their opinion about you carte blanche. You, sir, you look like a nice gentleman. You are a racist, homophobic, and you're a few other things. I could say it publicly as a news media, and you can't do anything to me. You don't think that's going to destroy our country? It already is. The Supreme Court's got something coming. It'd be in the next 10 years. They need the right case, but they're pissed. In fact, five justices, if you're paying attention, on both sides of the political spectrum have said the media is ruining this country. And that case we decided back in the 60s, we may need to readdress that. Right? But until that happens, we cannot sit and wait for anyone to hold these scumbags accountable. And I want to hold, they could be sitting in this room, I'll tell them that. By the way, they know that. You should see some of these folks talking behind the scenes and whistleblowers and what the media is about. They're destroying this country, and they're using you to do it. And it's time we stop playing the game. If you stay with me, I'll tell you how. I'll tell you how. We're entertainment. It's hilarious, right? But we all look at it and think it's true. And look what it's doing to us. I told you about that one today. Oh, I didn't tell you about this one today. This one's even crazier. I told you about 10,000 a day. Look at this one. USA Today. Headline, Sunday morning. Black women die every day at the hands of police. They're only off by, I don't know, 350. I think there was two that year. How is that even possible in a society that we have? Not a third world country, not state-run media. Oh, I'm sorry. How is it even possible that they can say that and hold their heads high? Because people are buying that paper when they see the headline on the front page on Sunday morning. Look at that. It's crazy. People get upset. And I have empathy for people that don't know about this topic, because, quite honestly, I would be mad, too, if I read that and thought it was true. Right? But we're not helping ourselves by letting them do it to us. No one is holding those accountable. And by the way, the media has an important role in democratic society. The media's role, and they did it, I think, pretty well for many years, is to hold people of power accountable. Thank God we had them. Them days are over, folks. They pick and choose who they hold accountable, right? And when there's only one narrative being told, one story being told, whether you agree with it or not, that's dangerous for democracy. And so it goes much deeper than just law enforcement. There's the one I talked about earlier. It's insane. I just saw another study last week where they asked political spectrum about COVID. And Bill Maher on HBO was talking about this. He said, hey, because he's upset because, he's a raging liberal. But he was like, listen, you Democrats are stupid. That's what he said. He goes, they did a study and 50% of Democrats think if you get COVID, you're going to the hospital. He says the actual number is 2%. Why do you think it's 50%? And you need to stop thinking that, because I can't sell any concerts out right now unless I go to the South. So he's mad now, he's losing money, right? So, and I saw a study just yesterday when they had trustworthiness of the media. Obviously, overall trustworthiness is about 21%. They're in the gutter. Democrats believe them 70% of the time, whatever they're told. Now, I don't know how to explain that, because I know people that are smart people that believe these ideologies. Travis, you shouldn't talk about politics. Hey, if it didn't affect me, I wouldn't, but it's affecting every one of you, so we have to. Because they're the only ones talking. 70% approval rating by Democrats, and it's about 15% for Republicans. And you got the senators about 25, 26%, all evens to about 21%. So they're very believable. And I had a funny thing happen, because I was trying to wrestle with this many years ago. Anybody heard of Sheriff David Clark? Jim may have brought him up here before. I was having lunch with David Clark. He was a sheriff from Milwaukee, retired now, but he's on Fox. He used to be on Fox News all the time. Very, how should I say it? Anybody met David? Very aggressive person. He makes me look like a little bitty girl or something. No offense to girls. But I mean, he makes me look like a child. You know, he's very, I love him, but he's very, I just get very tired when I hang out with him for more than like 10 minutes. I'm just tired. I'm like, David, you're better in 3-minute segments than 15 minutes, man. Sorry. But we were talking. He moved to D.C. after he retired. And he said, and I was just talking crap at dinner. I said, Obama hates us. He goes, oh, Obama don't hate us. Are you crazy? I said, how do you figure? He goes, dude, he's been around law enforcement his whole life. He knows exactly what law enforcement's about. He's a privileged man. He's he's protected every single day. He's a senator. He's been around him. He knows exactly what law enforcement is like. I said, why is he saying all this stuff? David, why is he saying all this stuff? Rah! He goes, because he's playing to his party. Every once in a while, he slings it out there because that's what the party needs. Both sides do that, right? And I went, oh, it's a little game being played, right? No one's defending. No one's coming back. But if we think it's going to, common sense is going to come into play and everything's going to get back to normal, we have to stop thinking that. It's not. And I'm going to tell you how to bring this to a stop, because they're not going to change, so we have to change how we react to it, right? It's going to get crazier and crazier and crazier and crazier and crazier. And I want to talk about this for a minute, because this is the other thing that they like to do. Research. By the way, there's no research for you right now. There's no grant funding for it, so no one's really doing it. Now, there's nothing stopping us from starting our own scientific journal, but except for a lot of, you know, lack of resources and people to do it. And I'm involved in research a lot. I read a lot of it. I know what it takes. But I saw this headline. This actually isn't a headline. Obviously, the headline was, study says police are less likely to blacks. And I saw this, and I was like, what the hell is that? Which is exactly what the headline's designed to do. I clicked on it, and I opened it, which is exactly what the headline's designed to do. And this should concern us. Like, I'm like, what is going on here? This is weird. Right? We should obviously treat everybody equally. So what's this study saying? Why don't we all know about this? And then I read the study and found out. Huh? Now, if there was a study to do this, I'll tell you what the study did. They took audio footage from body camera footage of traffic stops, first approach to a car. They took the audio footage of the interaction, just audio, so you don't see race. They gave it to independent people to listen to the audio, and they marked down when the officer was more rude than not. And when they came back, they saw a 4% discrepancy. Ooh, 4% discrepancy. That they believed, because you know, obviously the researchers knew the race, the people listening didn't. Pretty good study. I thought, well, that's interesting. We should probably follow up with that. Well, I kept reading. Now, sir, if you were going to do that study, because that's an important study to know, are we treating people differently based on race? That's something we need to know and fix that. How would you do that study? I just told you how they did it, but would you listen to the entire audio conversation? Makes sense, right? Oh, they didn't do that. They just listened to the officer's voice. Oh, does that matters, doesn't it? Because I got a feeling many of you are like me. You will treat someone, if someone is very rude to you, you probably don't have the same voice inflection as someone that's not rude. Well, that probably tells you the story when you find that out, right? But you have to read pretty deep into the study to find out what they did. So you see what they're all doing. And this does damage, folks. Let's not kid ourselves. Now, I will tell you, most of Americans haven't bought into it. Gallup has you anywhere from 70 to 80%, actually a high of 82% a few years ago of trust level. You're one of the highest rated professions, you know, you really are the top 4 or 5 every single year. And then people will tell me, well, what about the minority community? Because we always hear about that. Do you really think Gallup just ignores complete races when they do their scientific study? But you're an idiot, but okay, let's talk about that. There's plenty of studies out there that show that it's equally as high, roughly about 10% less. Last one I saw showed 70%. Still a lot better than a lot of other people. And quite frankly, with the information people have been getting, that's pretty good. So it's really strange to me that it hasn't done more damage. I think most people understand what this is, but we need to do more. And, of course, we've seen I don't have to keep telling you what this is. Now, I gave you a so quote earlier today. I'll give you one more. The things they thought were going to help did not help, and in many cases made things worse. Now, he's talking on the economic side. I think there truly were people, you know, that have been reimagining our profession, have thought, well, this will help. Now, the problem with them saying it's going to help, has anyone ever told you what they were trying to accomplish? Now, think about that. We're changing all this stuff up. What are you trying to accomplish? And are we going to measure that somehow? Yes, sir. What did he say? Yeah. Yeah. Did I talk about that this morning?
I came in a half hour later.
Did I? Does anybody know? I talked about it. I'm getting really confused. I've talked like 3 times today. I think I did.
I touched on it.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, that may be the end goal, but what about your local people? When your chiefs and your activists and your review boards, they don't really tell you what they're trying to accomplish, which is telling you why it's default anyway, right? The fact is, none of it has worked because it's the wrong reform. If they want to really change America and help America, they ought to do criminal reform, right? Not law enforcement reform. They have not showed us scientifically or research-based where we've done anything wrong. Do we have some bad apples? Of course, who doesn't? But I'd put us up against Chick-fil-A every day. I would compare you to Chick-fil-A every day and we'd beat them to a pulp, right? Because we're the only ones who wear body cameras, like I said earlier, and the scrutiny you're under. But so there were some that probably thought, everybody remembers this, well, let's get shorty. You know, remember the, and this is interesting. This is back in 07, 06, 08. It happened about under Clinton years before that, 10 years before that. Bill Clinton, I think probably thought he was doing a good thing. I don't know. I don't know how you didn't know what was happening when he did it. It's just not fair that more people from certain economic classes don't own homes. And there seems to be a disparity in races on who owns homes. So I'm going to change the banking rules. And we don't need all that credit score nonsense and, you know, work history to determine whether you get a home loan. We should open this up for everybody. So they did. And, of course, about 12 years later, it exploded like they knew it would, right? So that is an example of equity. And that just doesn't work in our country because it just doesn't. And, you know, I mean, I wish we had equality or whatever. I wish what we need in this country is what we've always had in this country for the most part is equal opportunity. Hard work tends to pay off. It's weird that way. And this theory flies in the face, you know, when they want to talk about a class of people, but there's a significant amount of people in any group they talk about that is highly successful. Well, that's weird. He grew up in the same bad neighborhood. That dude's a doctor. Why are you a drug dealer? Maybe it was decisions. So anyway, so what they're trying to do is do the same thing to us what they did to the housing industry, what they're starting to do with the healthcare industry, what they started doing everywhere else. Now, that's not your worry. But how can you slow this down? Communication. Let me tell you how it's happening. This is it. If I can get you to catch this, in whatever role you're in, you can at least understand why it's happening. Because a lot of us are shell-shocked, man. A lot of us, this is happening so fast, it's like, what in the world? Like if I would have told you 5 years ago, hey, man, they're going to be putting, I mean, literally in Milwaukee, they got an ex-con that shot at a cop on the civilian review board. And the mayor was like, he knows a lot about police work. Oh, he sure does, right? I mean, it's just, it's crazy. And tell me what it's trying to accomplish, right? You know, Portland police got rid of their street crimes unit. They were only having about 25 homicides a year because they were pretty good at, hey, you're a criminal, you got a gun, get them off the street. And of course, when whatever happened in one city 500 miles away, they're like, we're concerned about the equity because the stops in these neighborhoods are not exactly along the census. Well, okay, criminals are criminals, though. You understand what they're trying to do is put everybody in categories, right, to make us not like each other and to separate. It's I can't go that deep. You'll think I'm crazy, but all this sounds so crazy. I question my sanity when I see this stuff. So their homicides went up 1,300% if you've been following Portland. So the politicians said, hey, we got an idea. Let's put the street crimes together back together, but we can't call it street crimes. It sounds too aggressive. Criminals may get scared. We're going to call it the FIT unit, like a Richard Simmons deal. I don't know what that is. And we're going to ask for volunteers to come on board. We're going to pick 13 people. But they can't stop anybody because that whole stop and frisk may be approved by the Supreme Court, but we don't like that either. It works too well. And so they can't stop anybody, but what they need to do is drive around, identify people that could be involved in violence in the future, and call a social worker for them. You think I'm making that up. That's how crazy it sounds. Look that up. And it's weird. They haven't been able to find anybody to enter the unit. Not at all. Oh, and not only that, the police chief will not be over the unit. We're going to put a group of civilians over the unit they will report directly to. So how they had no volunteers, I have no idea. Meanwhile, guess who's suffering? Community. You need to understand that. I know some of you are dealing with a lot of this nonsense. Even if you aren't, you see it. It frustrates you. Folks, you're the only one who cares about these folks in the neighborhoods. The politicians sure don't care. I can tell you that right now. The activists sure don't care, or they'd be actually investing in those neighborhoods. You're the only ones trying to protect them, so you have an important role. And here's how it's happening. You think about the blueprint I already gave you. Here we are in the police, and we're trying to do the right thing. So we tell the media some important information to the public, whatever it may be. And we expect the media, one of the most corrupt organizations in the history of mankind, to actually tell the truth. Is that not insanity? And you know, how many of you have given interviews to the media? Like you talk to them for an hour and the 3 minutes and the 30 seconds they give you, it's like the freaking redneck in Oklahoma with the wife beater shirt on. You're like, what in the hell? Like I talked to them for an hour and they left all the good stuff out and put that stupid sentence in. I know it didn't happen to you, sir, but it's happened to me plenty of times. right? It happens in Oklahoma. Like, when a tornado, there's only one dude in the state wearing a wife beater. That's who they interview. Like, we expect them to actually be honest. That's crazy, man. That's crazy. And then the media does what they do. The public gets upset, right? They get mad. Then the activists get involved. We'll talk about that in a minute. Like, oh, my gosh, we got to change this. Then the politicians go, we're here to save you. We've never solved the problem in our life because we lack job security, but we're here to save you. And they go, police, you need to do this now. They call it police reform because it sounds good. We've been playing word games for a long time, right? Reform, oh, it sounds nice and good. Yeah, it just means more rules for criminals, less rules for criminals. And then we go, okay, we'll do it. And it keeps going on and on and on. And we just sit here and keep participating in this little roll this snowball thing. But what happens when you roll a ball downhill? Is it ever going to stop? Nope. My editor, I wanted to call this a circle jerk. My editor said, it's not a good idea. I still think it's great. I even bought the domain, although yeah, it's probably not going to be good for anything. But, so we changed the name. Because this is crazy we keep participating in this. This is, you can think in your own community. The lie, the media, piling on. I mean, my God, we got rid of no-knock search warrants in many of our states when Breonna Taylor wasn't even killed by no-knock search warrant. You know this, right? Read the deposition and the transcript of the grand jury. They had a no-knock search warrant, but they knocked, according to several witnesses. Get rid of no-knock search warrants. We got rid of chokeholds, which was only for deadly force anyway, because George Floyd didn't die from a chokehold. You can read the autopsy. You don't have to believe me. I mean, they had to freaking silence the coroner, for God's sakes. Coroner in the notes is like, hey, this dude, police weren't around. This dude been an overdose. I don't know what's going on here. Oh, you can't testify now. So we called in 3 out-of-state coroners. Didn't even work on the body, right? So we get rid of chokeholds when it wasn't even a chokehold. Autopsies couldn't tell you those kind of things. We're in this insanity world, right? You see how it starts? The media, the lies, activists, politicians, the police just go, okay, we'll do it. I'm not going to die on a hill on chokeholds and no-knock warrants. I mean, if Biden, who he banned chokeholds for federal agents, you know, it was deadly force only, now they just got to shoot them. Smart move, I guess. Can't shoot chokeholds, they just got to shoot them. Because they're obviously conflating LVNR with chokeholds, right? People are so stupid. Don't even get me started. LVNR is not a chokehold. We know that. So, how do you stop it? It's the answer. That's what you're here for. I'm not going to beat around the bush. I'm going to tell you exactly how to stop it. The problem is, very few people are doing it. You may not be in a position to do it, but at least you can recognize why this is happening. You see the circle? See the circle? Why are we here? Take us out of a circle, it stops, right? Who's causing the problems in the circle? Somebody tell me. Media? Not necessarily the public. I feel bad for the public. They don't have time to keep up with these issues. They tend to sometimes believe what they hear. And when you hear it a whole lot, Russia, 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 whatever the hell it is for this month, they believe it eventually. Activists, media, politicians are in the middle. How do you stop it? Here's the police right here. We're doing this, right? Here's what you do. Right here. You take a ball and cut it in half, it stops rolling. Now, this is not anything unique. Robert Peel, the founder of modern day policing. Oh, I know the media tells you we were founded in slavery and slave patrols, which is the first time I heard that crap. Right? I'm like, I've been a policeman for 25 years, really? I'm asking my buddies, I never heard of that. Well, that's what they're telling you. I don't know. Robert Peel, founder of modern day policing, London, remember, first police department. Police are the people. The people are the police. We need each other to succeed. I don't need them. I don't need them, and we sure as hell don't need them. So why are we letting them play a game with us? If we're playing dodgeball, we don't even pick them on our team. Make them cry. And how do you do it? Now, am I saying never pick up the phone and talk to the media? No. Don't be rude. But I'm saying you don't rely on them. Expect them to lie every time. There are certainly just honest reporters, honest media, but they're working for corrupt people. I can tell you that right now. The evidence is there. It's clear. Okay? So how do you do it? Well, any police department, whatever its size is, should have 10% of their people doing this. 10%. Sounds like a lot, Travis. It's the most important thing you do. My department's 800 people. There should be 8 people running their own newsroom, being their own media, saying, doing their own thing. And we're just kind of cool because Al Gore invented the internet. We got all this technology now, right? I mean, for about $500 and a 12-year-old, you can do all this yourself. You're like, oh, it's equipment and all this stuff. You used to have $100,000 to build that studio for $500. $500. I can do it for $200 if you got a cell phone. You can have quality stuff for the public with all this. I mean, by the way, some of us think we're doing it. Oh, we're posting on Facebook, Travis. I just told you what Facebook's about. They don't have any interest in sending the people that like your page your information. I'm involved in a business that has 1 million people on Facebook. It's a pro police industry. 1 million people will send an article that goes to 600 people. Because Facebook thinks they know what you want. They want to send you the opposite of what you like most of the time. So we're relying on a third party to tell you what you like. We need to get back to 1995, right, where you just type the website in, but nobody's ever going to go back there. If you really want to know the information, you've got to start doing that, because social media is not going to send you what you need for the most part. They want you angry. They want you mad. They want you sending you misinformation. So you don't just use Facebook. Don't just use Twitter. You don't just use YouTube. You use it all, just like a newsroom. Now, maybe you've got 10 officers. You only dedicate one. Or maybe you got 3 officers. You only have one guy can do it 30% of the time. You've got to do something. You can't let that be an excuse. I know some of you are like, I work at this department. Nothing bad's happening. Yeah, not yet. Folks, we're in a business of controversy. You can do everything right. Something will go wrong, or somebody will believe you go wrong. It just takes one person on Twitter. I'll show you that in a minute. That's all it takes. I think, and our problem is we think it's never going to happen. Do you think Ferguson, Missouri sat around and went, it's a little town outside of St. Louis. Nobody knows our name. Cambridge, Massachusetts. I could go on, right? And so we have to be our own news. We have to be our own voice. And here's the beauty of it. The public is thirsty for it. They need it. They quench it. Why do you think Live PD is the most popular show on cable television? Before it was Too True, they'd take it off the air. By far the most popular late night cable television show. About as accurate as you can get, really. Like, I've been on sets of reality TV shows. They're not real, right? I was at Orange County Choppers one day, and that was crazy. It was back in the heyday, and I'm sitting around hanging out with these dudes. They're hanging out, having a good time. They're like, okay, we're ready to go. They walk in, the little lights, a little taped off, and they start screaming at each other. I was like, oh, this isn't real. Most of us like that. But YPD was actually at my department, and it is literally real. 30-minute delay, you don't know that. Starts off with a 30-minute delay because the police department's like, hey, man, we can't have this really live. Give me at least 30 minutes to review this before it hits television. But the problem is them dudes can't say a complete sentence. They're like Joe Biden up there, and every time they make a stutter, they go, we got to do it again, the little commentators. And so they do it again, and by the end of the hour, that 30 minutes is about 30 seconds because it was okay, don't show that, show this. But it's real. That's why I had to go off there. People quench it. They thirst it. There's 5 channels competing for that show right now. It's coming back. So you don't think people will watch it? I'll prove it to you. Check out Miami PD's YouTube page when you get a chance. Not right now. That'd be rude. They do what's called a vlog. They give a guy a camera. They say, hey, film your day. And they edit it down to about a 45-minute show, throw it on YouTube. There's more people watching that show than CNN right now. A basic YouTube vlog, right? There's a dude, and I think it's Wisconsin. He literally puts this VCR recorder. Some of you don't know what that is. You know what that is, sir. You're like my age. Yeah, that's an old video recorder. They mount a GoPro on the car. And for 8 hours, the dude drives around and he just talks. It's a little sheriff's department. And literally, this county is like 2,000 people. And there's 20,000 people watching this live on Friday and Saturday night. I showed it to my wife and I said, I cannot believe this. It's literally the most B-rated, stupidest looking stuff you've ever seen. If that dude can do it, what could you do? Takes effort. It's different. Stepping outside the box. There's nothing wrong with the truth, though. There really isn't. And you can think of all the different things you could do. Right? No one's doing it, really. A few people are trying a little bit. I'm not saying that negatively. I was up in Duluth, Minnesota, said the same thing. I said, hey, you need to have your own news crew. How big's your department? They came out, okay, you need 4 people. I said, put a cop in there, but you need news people. This is their specialty. So hire some, you know, washed up news ladies that are 31 years old now. Pay them more money, give them 25 grand, they'll do a great job for you. And they said, okay, and they actually went and did it. They're doing better, but it's not as, you know, they're too reactive, right? Press releases and this and that. Man, it has to be almost news. And if you did that, they would freak out. Actually, I did this once. I've been talking about this for a long time in my department. And of course, you know, we're like everybody else, status quo. We have PO. The sister waits for the phone to ring, right? And, I mean, we have the greatest tool ever to do it, body camera footage. If an alien came down to Earth, and by the way, the government said aliens are real. We didn't even care. I'm like, what is going on here? That should be a big story, right? But yeah, the government said, oh yeah, aliens are real. Yeah. Next story, look at AOC's dress. Yeah. Anyway, if they came down to Earth right now, one of you may be one, and looked at YouTube, they would think that we're just shooting people every day. It's the only body camera footage we put out. Or we wait for the media to ask for it. We just give it to them. What? You know how much great things we do? I mean, it should be like freaking a hodgepodge of video and video and video and video of good things we do so the public sees an accurate representation of what we do. So we're not necessarily helping ourselves, and we certainly need to do more. And of course, they're not going to say that they're wrong after everything that's gone wrong. And if you don't believe me on the communication side, at least believe me on the officer safety side. If you watched the show Mindhunter, where the FBI has been going in for 30, 40 years talking to serial killers and asking them, you know, why did you choose certain victims? What's your mindset? Well, they do the same thing to cop killers. And FBI does a lot of things wrong, but the one thing they do well is research. And here's what they said. Almost one-third of cop killers. They didn't kill a cop because they were worried about their freedom or didn't want to go to jail or they were ex-cons. They watched the news. Now, if we were in a foreign country and saw this, that somebody had an ideology and committed violence, we'd call them a terrorist all day, every day. Don't do that here. Just note to self, because I don't know what else it is. They commit violence based on an ideology of the news media. Here's what the FBI says. Without law enforcement providing an alternative narrative, assailants distrust law enforcement. Well, I can say the truth. How about the truth? That works. Yeah, it does work. And by the way, it starts long before you talk to a reporter, before you do your podcast, before you do a YouTube show. I call it deposits and withdrawals. So you see, you can't just walk in front of a camera and say something and expect people to believe you. We have to constantly deposit into our communities. This is a whole big conversation about that. But that's where Ferguson got caught up short, right? Michael Brown, complete lie. Read the DOJ report, complete lie. 100 people witnessed it. One person said he had his hands up. It was the dude that was committing the robbery with him. 99 people, including 5 ex-cons, one dude whose son was shot by the cop, said, that dude was trying to kill that cop. Why do people still talk about it like his hands were up? Because we didn't communicate anything, do we? Kenosha, Wisconsin? Are you kidding me? It took them 8 days to tell us the dude had a knife and attacked cops? 8 days? Like you were a dummy and didn't see the video and didn't see what it was. And it wasn't even the police department that did it. It was a union. You know when they knew that he had a gun, had a knife after, when he got shot? About 8 seconds after, when the sergeant pulled up and said, what happened? Hey, you had a knife. Oh. 8 days. The DA even came out a couple months later and said, hey, this has all been a lie. I mean, NBA got a vacation off of it, right? You're not going to ever apologize. LeBron James got to his Twitter account and had some fun with it. No one's going to say they're wrong because that's the narrative. DA came out and said, it's all a lie. Next day, headline after headline, unarmed, 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 unarmed. They're not going to ever stop. So we got to quit letting them use us, okay? Because this is why. I can give you all the research in the world. I don't have time for it. Understand this. One thing we do really bad is we pay too much attention to the 10%ers. You got 4 groups out here. You got general citizens. They could care less. Hey, they're working. They're raising their kids. They maybe watch a cop show here and there, but they're not thinking about this stuff. They're important. You got your activists. By the way, here's the thing. If you know activists, and I've worked with them for many years, they love to be on TV. They love to be important. They love to, you know, hold a sign. But when it comes down to really wanting to work at anything, yeah. I mean, I've got months of my, hey, man, I'll talk to you anytime. Let's meet once a week at lunch. No, I don't have time for that. Yeah, because you're just an activist. You just want to feel important. Why do we pay attention to that? Reformers now, I know it's been given a bad word, but there are people in your communities that want you to have a great police department. Maybe they graduated your Citizens Police Academy. Maybe they're business owners. Maybe they're just good, honest citizens that have an interest in it. And we gotta grab onto that, right? And then, of course, your cop payers are 10%ers. About 70% of your public you need to be focusing on. So why is it we always focus on everybody else? Because you're never going to win that. That's who your focus is, right? That's your focus. So I talk about those deposits and withdrawals. You need to obviously work on your police department. And why is it deposits and withdrawals? Because when something bad happens or controversy happens, they're going to write that check and you don't want to bounce it. See, Ferguson bounced a check. Obviously, the incident was a fabricated incident, but the police department as a whole, when the DOJ investigated it, they found some problems. Small town, they're writing lots of tickets. getting a lot of warrants, making lots of money, trying to pay salaries off of it. They found problems. And the community generally felt that way. They weren't making many deposits in the community. So when it came to writing that big Michael Brown check, it bounced. People got upset. It doesn't matter where you are. You will have to answer for controversy, even if everybody did something right. So if you want your communication to work, you have to constantly pour into your community. I was up in the sheriff's department in Kansas. The sheriff said, hey, we got the 10-minute rule here. What? Yeah, when we go to the call, we stay 10 minutes longer at the call. Oh, you mean like you stay 10 minutes, like a clock, like I have to teach for gym, and it's the top? No, that's not what we mean. When the call gets done, and we've solved the problem, we stay 10 more minutes. What do you do? I'm freaked out here. We just talk to them, get to know them. There's not a multi-million dollar federal grant out there that can do more than that, right? Making those little deposits in the community. Because then when something happens, they have the trust. I love how L.A. does their body camera footage. Because, you know, we make a big mistake when we just throw the footage out there. Hey, there you go. What? I already told you earlier today that most people don't understand what we do. But they do a big narrative. They tell people what the context was. They bring the map in. They show the video. They show the surveillance video. They tell people exactly what happened. The media hates it, by the way. What are they doing? Police to the people, people to the police. You know, I don't have a slide in here today, but I think there's something to be said about, I don't even think we'd have Donald Trump as president if he wouldn't have had that philosophy. Because the media research was 98% negative in that presidential run. So what did he do? Everybody remember? He talked directly to the people. They booted him off of there because that's really doesn't work out well for people. My point is, he messaged directly to the people. And you can't just use social media for that because they can manipulate that. My point is, we have got to start doing that more, right? I live in Sand Springs, chief there. They hadn't had a shooting in 20 years. He's down at the OU Texas game. If it's tomorrow, and if you want to know where I stand on OU Texas, hell yeah, because any team named Sooner are a bunch of robbing thieves. I don't want to be associated with them. So we're going to root for Texas tomorrow while we're driving four-wheelers. So he drives up from Dallas. Media goes, hey, send me the video over. Guess what Tulsa does? They just send the raw video over. Let them do what they want with it. He goes, I'll give it to you Monday morning. Be here at 10 o'clock. They show up and, hey, you got the USB drive with the video? No, I ain't giving you a USB drive. It's going to be on that screen. I'm going to stand in front of it. I'm going to tell you what you're seeing. You can film that. Basic, but effective. You see what I'm talking about here? And so there's a lot I can cover here. I don't really have time to cover a lot of it. I believe in transparency principle, whether we like it or not. The truth is the truth. Whether it makes us look good or bad, we better always stick to the truth. People understand that, right? People understand that. And this is out in Omaha. Dave Stanjewick, he's a great shooting guy, a good friend of mine. Gang unit tells him to stop a car. He said, a gang member, ex-con, felony warrants. We believe he has a gun. Dave's like, I'm down. Stops the car. He walks up. The guy goes, boom, back in the glove compartment and comes up on him. Dave's a professional shooter. A dude didn't breathe much more after 3 seconds. No gun. Checked a few check boxes, too, that could have been ugly. Oh, no. A little bit of rousing started. Within the hour, the chief of police watched the video, saw the context, saw what happened, and made this statement. And it goes away. I'm sure a few people were tried to raise their voice a little bit, but be transparent. Even if you're wrong, you have to be transparent completely. Data principle, I'm going to get you out of here because I'm running late. I know it's a shocker. I talked about disparity this morning. It's completely ruining not only our profession, but many others, because there's this weird concept that everything should be equal no matter what, including the U.S. Census. And I would say, walk into an NBA game, a church, a restaurant, start counting the numbers. Things are just different. It's just the way it is in America or democracies. It's just, you know, I mean, how come more men aren't school teachers? I'm pissed off about that, to be honest with you. There should be more men that are kindergarten teachers, for God's sakes. Not really. But you know my point. There's just certain people that do certain things. And it's easy to overcome, and it's so frustrating we're not. I've been trying for 20 years in my department for us to do this. And the answer I've gotten from the last five chiefs is we just don't want to offend anybody. Oh, so you'd rather everybody be lied to. And President Obama said it right here. It's in the report. Release all the data, he says. Well, Ramsey said it. We recommend you release all the data. Now, I don't think he knew what he was saying when he said it, because here's what typically happens. ACLU, they're making millions of dollars off of this, follow the money. They'll come in, they'll open records you. They go, we want your stats on your traffic stops and your arrests by race. We do it. It's the law. We give them the information. Why would you do that? It's like giving a video with no context. Because do we stop cars and arrest people based on the U.S. Census? No, there's all kinds of reasons, right? Where crime is, where traffic incidents are, all kinds of reasons. They take those numbers and they look at the U.S. Census and they go, oh, African Americans are 11%, you stop 22%. Racist department, give us $3 million. And cities are paying up. It's insanity. I have videos where I have so much more. I'm so sorry I can't show you. I have Milwaukee police. The chief came out and was like, this is crazy, and lined it all out. They fired him. They paid him $3 million. It's nuts. It's easy. First off, we need to know whether our police departments are being disparity in an illegal fashion. We should know that. Why don't we know that? Why are we comparing ourselves to the U.S. Census? Like, it's like comparing Chick-fil-A to people that go to Burger King. That makes no sense. Hey, let's blame doctors for people that never go to the doctor and die of cancer. That is crazy. No, you compare law enforcement to criminal activity. That's our customer. So there's only one way to do it. You give the data, or you look at the data proactively, but you also look at Part 1 crime data. Why Part 1 crime data? Rape, robbery, homicide, assault, aggravated assault. Because those are crimes with a suspect and a victim. You only know about that crime because a victim called police and said, come help me. You take those numbers. You put them over here. Then you take your arrest numbers and your stop numbers and you compare. Now, you may be off. Maybe you got a problem. I'm going to tell you right now, I've done this for 100 departments that's asked me. I ain't seen a problem yet. They're damn near dead even. Why? Because that's our job. We go where crime goes, and we stop people in high crime areas and arrest people with guns and arrest people that commit crimes and commit victims. By the way, victimology is way off on disparity. Like I said earlier, I don't like that there's disparity, but that ain't on you. You are trying to prevent crime. And the fact that we're letting people wreck our agencies because we will not do this basic thing that it has to be reported to the FBI, by the way, so we have the data, and we choose not to give it to people, I think it's unfair to the public. Because if I'm a general citizen and I'm seeing these headlines, I'm probably getting mad too because I'm not giving the whole story. So it's not that difficult. It just happened in Tulsa. They did ACLU came in. We want your use of force report. They didn't even ask for it. We put it on the website, use of force report. It was the headlines for a year. African Americans, they use force three times more on African Americans than whites. And over this course of a year, we fought off civilian review boards, this stupid thing, and they used that for everything, just like the circle. And finally, I'm in the back about a year later going, pick me, teacher. I got an idea. Why would we compare use of force numbers to the general census? These are smart people I'm talking to, I think. What? Yeah. Is everybody in the city of Tulsa from age 10 to 90 subject to arrest today? No. Like when you go into the convenience store, is all those people subject to arrest today? No. What would make them get arrested today? They commit a crime, then why don't we compare our use of force numbers to our arrest numbers? Because that's who we use force against, arrest. When they did that, between all races, 0.5% variance. Then they buried the numbers and didn't tell anybody, right? Because we don't want to offend. It's not hard, folks. I know I didn't have enough time for you. If anybody's thinking about this, the main thing to think about is be your own media, collect all the data. Quit letting the media ruin us for literally nothing. By the way, I want to tell you about Hawaii real quick. It's just hilarious. So Hawaii is pretty archaic in law enforcement. A couple huge cities there. The chiefs were just getting battered in the media over the last couple years. I mean, they'd tell the media something. The media would just flat out lie about it. They're like, finally, these two chiefs got together and said, hey, I got an idea. Let's just quit talking to them. And they're like, yeah, what's your idea? He goes, police or the public or the police. Let's film a weekly YouTube video live stream. We'll take questions. We'll answer their questions. If they got anything we need to look into, we'll talk directly to the public. So for the last year, they've done it. The media has lost their cookies. They've actually said that they're not being transparent. What? You can't be more transparent than that, right? By creating a medium where them and the police people can talk together. So it's really crazy. I was able to do it one time in Tulsa. I'm going to let you go. I know it works. And there's a lot more technology and ideas and avenues I didn't get a chance to you. If you send me an email, if you're interested, I'll be able to give you more information. But I will tell you right now, and I'll hang my hat on it, if we don't change this, it's going to be very hard to overcome what's coming. The public I know would welcome it. I was teaching at a high school. I was teaching a real leadership class at high school. I said, I can't teach at the high school. I teach for cops. Even some cops get irritated. I'm not going to teach at high school. Oh, no, Travis, it's a high-end school. Yeah, go on. I don't want to do it. No, no. Listen, I'm telling you, man. No, it's an honors level leadership class. They're going to enjoy their information. I said, I'm telling you, man. It ain't going to work for kids. I got to put a damn disclaimer in it for adults. Travis, it's okay. Okay, I'll do it. First hour, I'm up there talking about stats, talking about data, breaking it down. Four girls in the front, black, white, Hispanic, Native American. They're mean mugging me. I'm like, I told this dude. Get at the break, and I said, because they were obviously irritated. So, girls, are you upset at something? Is there something I can do for you? Well, Travis, we're really upset. I go, great. What can I do to help? Well, we listened to you, and we saw the data, and we actually went to that website you went to, Washington Post. And you're right. Why is our parents lying to us? Why is the media lying to us? People quest this. Last story, I'm going to get you out of here. I was sitting in my office one day, and saw some officers walk by. They were visibly upset. And I said, 2 minutes. And I said, what's going on? They said, oh, we just took a burger recall. This lady's got stage 4 cancer. 5 days before Christmas, ex-boyfriend took her TV, took a bunch of her presents, took her Christmas tree, took some cash. It's devastated her. The TV was kind of keeping her occupied with this. You know, she knows it's her last Christmas. Oh, that's horrible. What are you guys thinking? You know what cops are going to say, right? Man, we want to do something for her. Let's do it, man. Let's get some money together and make this right. So we all get, about 10 of us get together. Man, she got more stuff than, I mean, I guess she got a big screen TV. She got a Christmas tree. She got all this DVD back in the day. You know, I don't know. She got a bunch. It was cool. But at one point in this process, one of the officers meant well and said, hey, Major, should we call the media? I said, are you crazy? Are you nuts? Have you not paid attention to what I've been talking about? Why would we do that? We got a story to tell, and why would they tell the truth? Well, I know you meant well. I said, but I'll tell you what, why don't you give her a call? See if she wouldn't mind us bringing her own camera. I'll grab Tegan over there and get his iPhone. We'll make it work. Actually, we actually found somebody that knew what they were doing, too, and we have a PO guy that knows how to do that. I said, see if it's okay if we bring our own camera out. She said, yeah, it's fine. We show up, and I got to tell you, it was obviously sad, but it was beautiful. She's crying. She's hugging policemen. She's getting presents. They interview her. She's talking about how great the police are. Interviewing the police was great. 4-minute video. They splice it up. They throw it up on YouTube and Facebook and all that. Pretty cool. Couldn't have the media do it. Why? Because they wouldn't have told that story. Because it didn't even matter that she was black. That's got nothing to do with it. It matters to the media, though, doesn't it? Get that emotion in there. Call that divide. Somehow pit police versus whoever. That's a story they would have told. I know that for a fact. I've watched them. That didn't matter. That didn't need to be in a story. So I'm not kidding, man. 5 minutes after the video got uploaded, I get a phone call. Travis, KJRH, Channel 2. How you doing? Yeah, how you doing? Hey, we saw that video, man, on Facebook. That's pretty cool. I said, oh, yeah, I'm glad you liked it. We'd like to do a story. I said, oh, we already did it. No, thanks. There was a big pause. No, I don't think you understand, Travis. We'd have to come out and interview you and interview her and do a story. I go, well, I don't think you understand. Did you not watch the video? We did the story. This went on for like 10 minutes, man. They literally had never been told no, apparently. Well, and they did what they never wanted to do. Well, because you know how it works. Reporters get given an assignment, and they have to come back with the job. She was given this assignment. She could not go back empty-handed. They need you more than you need them. So why are we letting them do this to us? Well, can we use your video? Yep, don't edit it, or we'll sue you for copyright violation. Front to end, 4 minutes, run it. And they did. You can't get a 4-minute video on the news. Two other channels did the same thing. It was a fun day. I got to screw with them, right? They just were so appalled they could not run their story. Oh, we did the story. I know it works, folks. I know some of you maybe think, oh, this is a little bit too much. Yeah, maybe it is. But you know what? What we're doing now doesn't work. So let's try it. I'm telling you, it can change everything. And by the way, there's a lot that we can do. I want to thank you. I've had a phenomenal time today. You stay with me late probably every time I've been teaching. Thank you so much. I got cards out there. I know I'm maybe not be able to talk to everybody, but my family and I are so grateful to get to be here. And what they've done here is amazing, to be honest with you. It's just amazing. And if there's anything I can do for you after this day, even though I'm 700 miles away, give me a call, give me an email. I'll do whatever I can to help you out. Thank you so much.